Hi, hello, how are you? Welcome back to I've Always Said That with your host, Brad. And what have we always said? It's Drag Race time. Vroom, vroom. That's right, we are back for RuPaul's Drag Race Season 17, Episode 10, The Villain's Roast. That's right, we have a classic challenge on our hands. It is the roast of some classic villains, you know? What's Drag Race without a villain? There's got to be a villain every season. It what brings the juice? It what brings the flavor? It's what brings the show its Emmys. Let's be honest. All right? So let's just get straight into it, shall we? Shall we? Yes. The Queens come in after Corey King's elimination, and Lydia has just killed her boyfriend on stage. Kissed her deadly, one might say. As Susie says, it's a very Romeo-Juliet situation. Lydia is obviously devastated that she sent her king, Corey, home. See what I did there. And I'm very sad to see Corey go, to be honest. She was a light in the workroom. Yes, she was. She was a light. She was quite funny. She's quite expressive. And she will be sorely missed. Sorely missed. However, I am very happy that Lydia got to stay. We do love Lydia Butthole-Collins in this house. Yes, we do. And then they all celebrate Jules' win. Jules' first win in the design challenge. Yes, yes, Jules. Yes, Jules. We love to see it. We love to see it. However, Lexi is naturally still in her head. She's where she's comfortable, apparently, because that's where she is. Lexi, you are my queen. Get out of your head. She's like, I'm happy for Jules. I get it, but the win should have been mine. It's like, yes, I get wanting to win, but it's like going over it and over it and over it in your head is only hurting yourself. And I know she knows this, so it's just frustrating. Lexi, get out of there. Lydia also has some feelings about other people that she thinks should have been in the bottom, including Sham Star. She thinks that Sam should have been in the bottom. And Sam's like, sorry, what? This lovely tailored outfit? And it's like, yes, it is tailored. It is Brian Panties. I don't think Sam should have been in the bottom, but I love Lydia's determination. They're just constantly jabbing at each other because they're obviously like at almost two opposite ends of the drag spectrum. Like Sam's very pageantry, very classic. And Lydia's very like artsy, very underground, almost like Club Kid-esque. Maybe not Club Kid, but just very alternative in comparison to Sam anyway. So they're just not seeing eye to eye in their styles. So they're just lots of clashing, you know? Anyway, it's a new day in the workroom and Michelle comes in. I'm like, oh, okay. Michelle comes in. This is fun. This is love change. We love Michelle. It's in this house as well. And she alludes to missing a major player that perhaps left too soon. And I'm like, sorry, they're not bringing someone back. Surely they're not bringing someone back. And no, they're not bringing someone back. She was referring to the Badonkadunk tank. Do you remember the Badonkadunk tank that saved Hormona and Arietti? Yes, yes, you do. We remember well. So it's a mini challenge. Would you even describe it as a mini challenge? I think Michelle's just taking out her anger on the contestants. Because she is joined by Joey Nulfi from Entertainment Weekly on the main stage. And one by one, the queens get up on the Badonkadunk tank themselves, where Michelle asks them a question. For example, Michelle asks Lydia, what's your favourite colour? And Lydia says, blue. And she's like, wrong, red, and dunks her. So basically, it's just an excuse where Michelle is dunking every single last one of them. And I kind of love it. I'm kind of here for it. It's fun. It makes no sense. It has no relevance what's going on whatsoever. But it's a bit of fun and we get to see the tank that was only there for like 4 or 5 episodes. So it's fun. I love it. Anyway, back in the workroom and Michelle announces the maxi challenge of the week, The Villain's Roast, with special guest Mistress Isabel Brooks from season 15, Plain Jane from season 15, and Candy Muse from season 13. Three iconic classic villains that I'm excited to see back. Jules gets to assign the order as she is last week's winner. And this is going to be interesting. This is going to be very interesting. I think some people, this plays into their strengths. And then others I am worried about, including Jules. So we'll see how she plays this card. She does get everyone's opinions on where they want to go in the roast. But ultimately, she makes her own decision. Of course, you got to take care of yourself. Anyway, so the running order, according to Jules, is first, Anya, second, Arietti, third, Jules, fourth, Lana, fifth, Sam, sixth, Lydia, 7th Susie, and 8th Lexi. Now, Lexi is immediately pissed, but she asked to go last. She wanted to go last. She's not pissed about that. She's pissed about the fact that she's been put after Susie, because for some reason in her head, she thinks Susie is just this ultimate beast of a competitor. And it's like, yeah, Susie is great at what she does. I think also she would, of course, do well in a roast setting. But why are you mad at Lexi? You asked to go last and you got last. I'm mad at Jules, sorry. I don't understand. You just need to take a breath, chill out a bit. It's okay. And just focus on your own material. Now, Arietti is also really mad. She's uncomfortable doing a roast in any regard. Comedy is not her strong suit, as we've grown to know. However, she feels stabbed in the back by her best friend after she's put... So Jules has put herself after Arietti, and Jules is like, well, that's to make her look better because she knows I'm going to fail and she wants to succeed off my failure. She is hurt, betrayed, and bitter. And I'm like, ooh, Arietti mad is scary. This is going to cause some shit. Can't wait to see how this turns out. So the Queen's Workshop with Michelle and comedy legend Whitney Cummings. Now, the main takeaway from this is when they go around the table, Susie says, she's like, I'm cerebral. It might be too smart. And Anya is having none of it. Anya's like, absolutely not. This bitch is funny. Nothing she has said has gone over my head. She's like, I'm cerebral. She's trying to play herself down to make it look like she's better on the actual day. And I'm like, smart go, but Anya is like, not on my book. No way. And I'm like, power to you. Now, because of the way they're sitting, Arietti is sitting next to Jules because, you know, one after the other in the running order. And she's slyly looking at Jules' paper and her notes. And she's like, I'm going to take some of her jokes. Ah! That's payback, bitch. And I'm like, oh my God, is she actually going to like... Yes! This is television gold. Absolute gloriosity. She's like, yep, fuck her. This is what she deserves. She's going to take her jokes. I'm like, oh my God, this is so tasty. This is delicious. So after all that, I'm worried for Lydia, Lana, and Arietti. They're the three queens that are like not known comedy queens per se. They're more like fashion orientated. So I'm a bit worried to see how they're going to go. Anyway, it's elimination day and Arietti's station is... She's set up next to Jules. You know, they're besties. They're sisters. They're pretty close. And she just gets up all her stuff and she moves. And Jules is like, oh, you're moving? And she's like, yep, I am. And they have their little argument. And Jules is like, you know, I didn't mean to set you up, right? And Arietti's like, well, you did. And you've done that. And at the end of the day, all you can do is stab your friend in the back. And I'm like, oh my gosh. She's like, I didn't mean to get in your head. And she's like, well, you did. I'm like, fuck, this is like... This is a bit crazy. And I'm like, I can kind of see where Arietti is coming from, but her reaction is not meeting what happened. You know, I think she's just so self-conscious about how she's going to do in the roast that she's projecting onto Jules. And I'm like, this is not great. And of course, as Jules is her closest sister in the competition, it's making it even worse and it's just compounding and exploding on all her emotions. I'm like, but I love it. Yes, we're going to stir the pot. Love to see it. And also, Lexi is still mad for some reason. She is getting in her own head and she's like, mad isn't even the word. I'm like, Lexi, it's not even like, no one's worried about this except you for some reason. I don't get it. And what Susie says is right. Susie's like, where you were placed in the roast, in the running order, doesn't necessarily matter. It has a very small part to play. How you think your placement is going to affect you in the roast is what matters and what gets in your head. And she's absolutely right. So we'll see if that has anything to do with the placements in the end. All right, so on to the roast itself, the villain's roast. Anya is up first and she just has really great energy. We know this. Anya is the perfect person to open up something. She has that warm energy that you just get drawn to. She's a strong safe. She's very funnable. She's funnable. She's very funny. She's got punchy jokes. Nothing over the top where I'm like, oh my God, this is hilarious. But it's just like a very solid performance for me. I think she was the right choice in putting first. And then after Anya, we have Arrietty. And just from the get-go, you can tell that the poor thing is uncomfortable. It's just like she's struggling to get her words out. She's stuttering over words. She can't even say Mistress's name properly. She starts to tell her own jokes poorly. And then she starts to tell Jules's jokes also poorly. And Jules is like, this bitch is telling my jokes. I'm like, oh, the pennies dropped. If I was Jules, I would be one furious, but absolutely shitting it. I would be like, my gut would just fall out of me. Seriously, I'd be like, well, I'm not getting up. I'm not getting up. I would just be like, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. But also, if Arrietty's going to steal someone's jokes, at least try, like, deliver them properly. Like, I get she was, like, shitting at herself, but they weren't even delivered well. And also the jokes weren't fantastic. So I'm like, this is just a lose-lose situation for everyone, truly. Oh, also, Sam compares... I'm surprised they kept this in the edit. So Sam compares Arrietty's performance to, quote, a starving dog who should be shot in the head. Oh. I can't believe they left that in. Like, that's fucking brutal. Like, oh. And of course, if anyone says that, it's going to be Sam. Like, anyway, so Jules is up next, and you can just see the immediate panic. She starts off okay, but the fact that her jokes were stolen, well, a couple of the jokes were stolen, just throws her off completely. She starts saying things, her sentences aren't matching up. And she did have other jokes, but they weren't really landing anyway. So, like, maybe she would have been in a better position if Arrietty didn't steal the jokes, but I don't think she would have succeeded. But I guess that was Arrietty's goal. She was like, she's going to try to get in my head, I'm going to bring her down a peg, so... It kind of worked. Jules' performance was not fantastic. Then we have Lana, the surprise of the night. Her comedic timing was perfect. She was so fucking funny. I thought she did so great. She's like, says to Plain Jane, she's like, how are you tonight? Actually, I don't give a fuck. And I'm like, I just, like, did not see this coming from her whatsoever. And she made a lot of, like, white jokes about Plain Jane. She's like, some of these jokes just white themselves. I was just like, it was so good. It was just so left of field, just completely. Like, it helped that we didn't expect this from her. Like, she was the underdog here, and she just completely blew it out of the water. And I just absolutely killed it. I thought she was amazing. Then we have Sam Starr, and funny, but so short. Like, so, so short. They edited that down. She says two jokes, and then she's like, and in closing. And I'm like, well, sorry, what? Closing? You just stood up. What do you mean? And I'm like, okay, why is it so short? Like, yes, what was there was funny, but you gave her three jokes in like 10, 15 seconds. I was like, that's it? Okay, bye, Sam. Then we have Lydia, and again, just absolutely blew it out of the water. She seemed so comfortable and delivered every single one of her jokes so well. It was so matter-of-fact and deadpan in the best way possible. It was just amazing. She said to Mistress, like, the fact you're on Drag Race is crazy because you're not racing anyone. She just says it with such a deadpan face, and it's like, this is amazing. And then her other joke, she's like, I'm a really big fan, is what Mistress would say if she was an oscillating fan. I'm like, what? What does that even mean? The fact that you're saying, like, someone is an oscillating, like, what? And then what she says to Plain about Corey, she's like, I still carry a piece of her in my stomach. And I'm like, oh. No. And RuPaul absolutely loses it. And you know, when RuPaul loses it the way that she does, it's like, oh, she's good. She's golden. I'm like, and she looked beautiful as well. Like, this was Lydia's night. This was Lydia's night, hands down. Following Lydia, we had Susie too. And look, Susie was fun, but I don't know, just like the way she was delivering her jokes, it was very like newsreader. It's like, oh, I have a joke for you. Here's the journey, here's the punchline. And it was just like, oh, I'm not vibing with this. Like, it was funny, but it was just like, oh, it was not, again, talked a big game and didn't really deliver. But did she do bad? No, not at all. But I just expected more from her. Then closing the show, we have Lexi, and she's just already in her head. As Susie introduces her, she says something about like Lexi not having any friends, and Lexi immediately just shuts down. She's like, did I turn everyone against me? Does no one like me? And it's like, Lexi, stop it. You know, it's like it's frustrating to watch now. I'm like, Lexi, I love you. What are you doing? And she's just done herself over. She had jokes, but it was just awkward. And you can tell she was just overthinking it to the nth degree. And it was just like nothing really landed. And it was just like, oh, this is not great. Lexi. No. No. So that closes out the villain's roast. And the roast itself, I'm just like, meh. Meh. But it's all the behind the scenes stuffs. Yep. Stuff that like made it, you know? Especially the Arietti and Jules stuff. So we love to say that. Runway category is who wears short shorts? Shorts on the runway. That's right. First up, Anya Nerve. And she is in a denim number, but the shorts, like the crotch part of it, goes up her crotch all the way up to her boobies. And then like the waistband of the shorts go like around her shoulders. So it's like a really fun interpretation of it. I didn't quite get it at first, but I think it's fun. It's cool. Something different from Anya that we haven't seen. And her face is beautiful as well. So I like it. It's fun. Arietti is this like golden goddess. It's kind of giving me Freddie Mercury in a way. I don't know if it's like the shorts and then this golden cape with these massive like shoulder pads. She's got a crown on that kind of helps. And these sunglasses. It's just such a moment for like category is shorts. It's like, I don't think you'd expect that. So beautiful. Her runways are always exquisite. Will it save her from the bottom though? I don't know. Jewel Sparkles come down in sort of like a period piece. And Michelle's like, Marie Antoinette. And I don't really agree. I don't think it's Marie Antoinette. Like, just because something's a period piece doesn't mean it's Marie Antoinette. It's not giving cakes. It's not giving any of that. It's just, like, poofy sleeves. However, I do question, though, if it's giving shorts. You know, it's like the corset. And I guess it is kind of, like, puffy shorts. But I don't know. She looks good, but it's not my favorite look. We have Lana Jarrett, and she is referencing Naomi Campbell in a runway piece. It's very, very simple. And I agree with the judges when they say it needed to be dragged up. Like, it's just brown booty shorts, a white singlet, and this kind of like green cape moment with a red hat. Like, she looks great, of course, especially her legs are stunning. Always the main course of this meal. I don't know why I said that, but okay. But yeah, it just needed to be dragged up a lot to make it worthy of the main stage. Sam Star comes out, and this is just so Sam Star coded. It's like this American football piece. So she's got the shorts and then she's got all like the padding and everything on her. She's got like the warrior paint under her eyes. And it's just the most Sam Star thing I've seen. It's fine. It does the job. I don't really like it. It's very bulky all over the place, but it's definitely not bad. I just like, you know, I don't like football, so I don't like this look. But this is very dragged up, which I think is what Lana needed for her look. Lydia Butthole Collins comes out and she is covered in intestines, basically. That's what it looks like. Like, her body is just intestines. There's like the insides are on the outsides, and then her shorts are skin. And enough said. Like, yeah, Lydia, work. Susie Toot comes out and it's like another sort of like period piece, like puffy shorts, cape, like kind of white face paint makeup. It's very fine. It's a very safe look. I like it. Again, something different for Susie. So I'm not mad at it. It's very, very safe. And then finally we have Lexi Love come out wearing another train. I do like this look though. It is very fun. It's all denim shorts. So she's wearing the denim shorts. But then the rest of the outfit is also denim shorts, like, deconstructed into this long, flowy train behind her. So it looks really cool. Like, she does look cool. But as Michelle says, it's like, it's another train. It's another cape. Lexi, you're in danger of giving us the same thing. Ooh. All right, so critiques. The tops of the week are Lana Jarrett, Sam Starr, and Lydia Barthol Collins. The bottoms are Ariadne, Jewel Sparkles, and Lexi Love. And I agree. And I'm so happy to finally see Lana and Lydia in the top, like finally getting some praise. This is the 10th episode and both their first times in the top. We love to see it. Amazing. Untucked. Oh, Untucked was intense this week. Oh, my favorite runway of the week would probably be, I mean, Ariadne, for sure. Ariadne's looked the best. Least favorite would be Lana. I like the reference. It just needed to be dragged up more, you know? Yeah, so Untucked was really intense. Basically, Lexi and Ariadne come for Jules again because of the roast order. It's like, oh, let it go. What happened, happened. But Anya sticks up for Jules, and the fact that she does that, Anya and Ariadne get into it. Ariadne's like, this has absolutely fucking nothing to do with you. And Anya's like, I'm here. I'm going to put my two cents in and defend Jules. And it's like, good on her. I'm glad she stood up for Jules, like, as she should. And it just blows up. And it is like, quality television. We love to see it. Ariadne is super pissed, but Lexi and Anya work it out. They kind of, like, have their chat. And it's like, yeah, girl, of course we good. But Ariadne, not happy. She is all over the place. Back out on the main stage, and the winner is Lydia Barthol Collins. I'm so happy she's finally got her first win. Well deserved. She absolutely killed it. So, yes, after being in the bottom last week, sending home Corey, her lover. What a comeback. Absolutely what a comeback. That means the bottom two of the week are Ariadne and Jules Sparkles. Like, of course, this is like the perfect bookend to this episode. So good. This episode's drama has been so good. And just to top it off, the lip sync song is Ya Ya by Beyonce. Oh, incredible. The song starts and I lose my goddamn mind. This is amazing. And they both have such a strong start. They're really giving it. And then before I know it, the song's over. And I'm like, sorry, what? They cut out the bridge. They cut out most of the song. And I'm like, this was like a 10 second lip sync. What are you doing? You didn't give the chance for them to like really give it. And I'm like, oh, fine, whatever. Jules won, and I completely agree. I think Jules did win. She did give a better performance. And yeah, it's time for Ariadne to sashay away for real this time. No badonkadonk to save her. Damn, the first queen of the season to go home with a challenge win. That's crazy. Her exit line was, well, it looks like the runway category just dropped immensely. Your ugly boogers. And I will miss her runways. It'll be interesting to see what the caliber's like without her. Very sad to see Ariadne go, but I think it was her time. Like, as Anya said, the runway challenges, the design challenges seem to be over. There's been three of them now. So if she's not going to serve it in anything else. But I do think it would be awesome to see Ariadne back in like the next evolution of her. I think she could fucking kill an all-star. So I hope to see her back one day. So that is episode 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race season 17. Absolutely bewildered. We are only 7 queens left. 7. That's so crazy that we're already at 7.
7?
Yeah, 7. Half of the queens have gone home. And we are getting closer and closer to that finale. Oh my god. So, let us know in the comments. Do you agree with the winner? Do you agree with the eliminated queen? Share with your friends. Like, comment, subscribe. Leave a positive comment. If it's negative, leave that shit in the past. Remember to follow us on Instagram at ivealwayssaidthat.pod. This has been I've Always Said That with your host, Brad. Love you. Bye.